from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, December 2nd. Coming up, some libraries are hiring social workers to better meet the needs of their patrons. We'll learn more from Darian Benson of Side Effects Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Small and mid-sized airports throughout Illinois are getting a boost in state infrastructure funding to complete improvement projects that have languished for years. Governor J.B. Pritzker yesterday announced $94 million in capital funding for 96 airport projects statewide, many of which won't be eligible for federal infrastructure money.
We want our airports throughout the state to be the best in the nation, and these airport grants are making a real difference. Every community deserves prosperity, safety, resilience, and opportunity, and that's what this program seeks to advance.
Illinois' network of airports is one of the largest in the nation, with more than 850 places to land planes. They range from tiny privately owned grass airstrips to O'Hare and Midway airports in Chicago. The University of Illinois' Willard Airport in Savoy is getting $1.8 million in state funding for runway and road improvement projects. The state's economy continues to grow at a good pace, according to the monthly flash index from the University of Illinois. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
The flash index rose slightly in November from 105.4 to 105.5. Any number above 100 shows economic growth. U of I economist Fred Gertz says the numbers, based on Illinois tax receipts, come too soon to show any impact from the new COVID-19 Omicron variant. But he says the flash index does show Illinois' economy is doing pretty well right now.
The good news is it's growing. The good news is that the unemployment rate is going down. The cloud on the horizon is that it's still not as good as the national economy. The national economy has a considerably lower unemployment rate.
Gertz says the Illinois economy could also be affected in coming months by supply chain problems and the threat of inflation. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
The dancers of the Champaign-Urbana Ballet are busy preparing for the company's annual performance of the Nutcracker. This is after last year's cancellation due to the pandemic. Senior company dancer Eleanor Kratz says she has multiple roles this year. She says having something to work toward has been exciting.
So it's really nice to have a really big reward for all of the work that you put in.
Senior company dancer Farah Willenbrock says she's thrilled to be heading back to the stage.
Honestly, just being back at the studio and rehearsing in itself has been amazing. And this entire process, like, I love reliving this kind of experience that I guess I never thought I would have again.
The Nutcracker will take place at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts from Friday through Sunday. For more information, visit krannertcenter.com. Champaign County public health officials reported nearly 170 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. The number of active cases has topped 1,100, up by more than 150 from just a week ago. 21 Champaign County residents are hospitalized with the virus. Meanwhile, Carle Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 64 patients hospitalized with COVID, twice as many as just 2 weeks ago. 14 of those patients are in the ICU. Still to come, we'll learn why some libraries are starting to hire social workers to better serve their communities. That story from Side Effects Public Media is coming up next on 217 Today.
The critically acclaimed British crime drama Broadchurch is now available for friends of WILL to stream with Passport. The series stars Olivia Colman and David Tennant, who are detectives exploring the fallout from a grisly murder in a small English seaside community. As they work together to find the killer, they threaten to expose some of the town's long-held secrets. Learn how you can watch all three seasons at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Libraries play a central role in many communities. They provide books and information and also help people navigate challenges. Sometimes those challenges are beyond the scope of what librarians are trained to handle. As Side Effects Public Media's Darian Benson reports, some libraries are hiring social workers to meet the need.
Yana McGraw is a social worker at the Indianapolis Public Library. She was recently connected with a gentleman through a local AIDS service organization because he could not buy his medication. McGraw says he was staying at a shelter and did not have access to transportation.
So for him to get to somewhere to get $4 for medication, that was going to be hard for him.
She made some phone calls for him and helped him connect with a family member who came to the library to give him the $4 so he could get his medicine. McGraw is the first licensed social worker hired by her library system and one of about a dozen full-time social workers working at libraries across the Midwest. McGraw started in July after the library recognized the need. She's got an office on the fourth floor, but lately she's been balancing time at her desk with making rounds, just talking to people to make sure they know who she is and what she's there for.
My door is open, come on in. And they do. Not even knocking, but they just come in. And I'd rather have it that way because I want to make that connection.
John Helling is the interim CEO of the Indianapolis Public Library. He says public libraries are one of the few places people can go during the day and not have to spend money. And they've been getting requests for help that are beyond the scope of what librarians can handle for years.
We're a safe place. We're a clean place. We try to be a helpful place. And so we do find patrons experiencing just a wide variety of needs that just end up in our building because we're the only place where they can go.
McGraw says the library is like a day shelter, both no support. And that support is needed for people who are dealing with really tough challenges, things like housing insecurity and severe mental illness. McGraw says as a social worker at a library, she can assist patrons in a way librarians can't.
I'm able to spend that time, pick up the phone, ask the questions, send an email to a community partner if I have that relationship, follow back. It's like planting the seed and then just keep continuing on to they get to where they need to get to.
Beth Whaler leads the social work department at the University of North Carolina. She works with public libraries across the country to understand their needs and suggest ways social workers may be able to help. Whaler says a theme she notices in every library she has worked with is how central to the community they are.
And I think sometimes they're the first ones to know what gaps exist because those are the issues that are coming in the door with the patron population there.
Her research has highlighted some of those gaps. Preliminary results from a survey of almost 5,000 people at three Midwest public libraries show 10% reported needing help finding a job, 6% said they need mental health assistance, and 4% housing assistance. Whaley says although these percentages might seem small, many patrons have multiple needs, many of which are complex and require specialized training to adequately address. Melanie Huggins with the Public Library Association says over the past decade, more libraries have been finding ways to partner with social workers. But it's not as easy as you might think. Barriers include money, capacity, and challenging the idea that it's not the library's job to do this kind of work.
I think library directors, even if they think it's a really great idea, they still have to balance it with all the other needs that they have in their community and within their library.
But in Indianapolis, McGraw says being a library social worker is where she needs to be.
So just helping people navigate and make those connections is really important to me. And when I go home, I'm happy and content that I made a difference. It might be little differences, but it's a difference in some way in someone else's life.
I'm Darian Benson, Side Effects Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly sunny skies and warm temperatures today with a high of 62 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Jim Meadows, Olivia Vamos, and Darian Benson. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldeen. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.